Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social Podcast. The season is running to an end and as is almost tradition now, we end the season with a podcast interview. Of course, there's two more races this weekend which will be discussed in a podcast, but for now we bring to you an interview. Last year we did one with Sven Nys on the GCN Plus documentary There Will Be Mud. The year before we had a rider interview with Zoe Backstedt, and now we're also bringing back a rider interview, this time with the talented British rider Imogen Wolf, who's been one of the best junior women on the circuit this year. It's, I think, the third or maybe second rider interview of the year. We were able to do a bit more last year, but it's just been super busy this season, combining the entire package of Cyclocross Social, Instagram, Threads, the graphics, the media, side hustles we've done this year for various clients, and then of course the podcast has been a bit much. I'm hoping to bring back a couple of more because they're really fun to do and hopefully fun to listen to as well. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Imogen Wolf racing for Trinity Racing. With me here now is one of the best riders from the junior women's category of this season, Imogen Wolf. Imogen, thank you for making time. How are you doing? And could you shortly introduce yourself to people who maybe don't know you yet?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm Imogen. I ride cross, road, and love that track. Yeah, I'm from Yorkshire in the UK. And I was lucky enough to do quite a lot of racing abroad this season, both on the cross and on the road. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, let's get to know you a little bit better. I have a couple of questions that are not cycling related and a couple that are cycling related. Let's start with, to get to know you a little bit better, when you were growing up, was there a certain rider, road, cross, track, anything who you looked up to, who's inspired you?
Yeah, I think Beryl Burton. My grandma got me a book when I was younger about one of the best British riders from the past called Beryl Burton. And yeah, she was just absolutely legendary. Like, she had the 12-hour record for the women's and the men's for absolutely ages. And yeah, she was just super, super inspiring, who I sort of wanted to be growing up. So definitely her.
So a bit of a cycling family. How did you actually start cycling?
Yeah, so mum was super into triathlon when I was growing up. And dad, on Saturdays, dad wanted to go out with his mates on the club cafe run. So mum just took us along to her triathlon training and yeah, we just joined in and I got into triathlon and then yeah, from that I decided swimming and running wasn't for me. So yeah, I love cycling and that was all I wanted to do, so it just went from there really.
You've been racing on the road, you also said a bit of track, but at the end of the day we're going to ask you a couple of questions about cyclocross. You've done two seasons now of racing. What's the favourite course you've tackled?
Ooh, I would say probably Gavia, is that how you say it? Gavra? People say it different ways, but this year, that was just, yeah, a bit of me. Like, there was so much running in it, and it was so hard, and there was, like, those super technical descents, and the crowds were just crazy. So, yeah, I'd say that. Or Onamore, that Onamore is pretty, pretty hard to get to choose between.
Yeah, I guess they're kind of similar. Funny, you go from, well, the triathlon, not the running. Ah, I love Havre, a lot of running. So I guess maybe for your mom, there can still be a future. What's your favorite tire thread to run during a race?
Ooh, I'd say probably Griffo. I'd say I'm probably a bit guilty of under-tiring. Like, if it's a super muddy day, sometimes I'm yeah. But yeah, I'd say probably Griffo just does a bit of everything. I mean, I only have three, so I've got Griffo, Baby Limus, and Limus, but yeah, Griffo seems to be what I run the most and I feel confident on it. So.
And when you're racing, do you prefer that it's pouring down, absolutely horrendous conditions, or do you prefer the sun to be out?
I say pouring down, yeah. I'm from Yorkshire, so we're used to the rain and yeah, all the way used to all that. So I think that can sometimes put other people off, but yeah, we're from the UK, so we're used to the rain.
I've seen you've been putting in some training in Spain at the moment, but when you're training, what do you prefer, the British weather or that Spanish weather?
Yeah, it's got to be the Spanish weather, especially at this time of year, like the middle of February. So it's starting to get a little bit better. But yeah, I think doing like the 5-6 hour rides at home is just, it is grim at the end of the day. So it's really nice to be out here for a week. It's my half term. So yeah, trying to bank some sunny miles.
Yeah, certainly do not blame you for that. And when you're riding, a coffee stop, what's your favorite thing to get, favorite drink, favorite snack to go along with it?
I'd say here it's probably a cafe con leche, which is just coffee with milk, and then a ham and cheese tostada, which is basically just ham and cheese on toast. So pretty basic, but yeah, gets me through those long, long rides.
You can't go wrong with those things when you're on that long ride and need a refuel. I mean, personally, I like a small piece of cake with my coffee from time to time, but definitely if you're a bit hungry, that toasty gets you through a bunch of things. But when you're not riding, do you have any other hobbies you enjoy?
Well, I'm doing A levels at the minute, so to be honest, that's pretty much my life is cycling in school. But I really like to cook and bake. I'm not brilliant at it, but I find it quite relaxing, you know. If you put all the ingredients in at the right time, you're gonna come out with something that tastes relatively good. So yeah, I like to cook and I like to read and, you know, the normal teenager thing, go out with my friends and stuff like that.
What's a book you've recently read?
Oh, I'm reading one at the minute. It's my bedside table. I can't remember the name, but it's about it's like a horror, which is not normally my type, but it's about like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't choose that one actually because it's a little bit gory. But I think my favorite one's probably We Were Liars. I like that one. That one's quite, yeah, that's
Added to my reading list, which grows
quite
every
good.
time I speak to someone, but I guess in the off season I'll eventually get to it. Are there any other sports you enjoy to watch, or simply too busy with cycling, school, friends to really have time for that?
We watch a little bit of skiing sometimes, like ski Sundays during the winter, and when it's the Olympics, or we always put the athletics on, and that's always good to watch, especially because I've got a bit of background in the sport. But yeah, mainly cycling, cyclocross. That's yeah, mainly what I tune into.
And music, is there any music you like to listen to when you're riding, when you're not riding, whenever?
Yeah, so I'd say my music taste is a bit weird. It's a bit all over the place, but I'd say a little bit of rap, a bit of pop, a bit of hip hop, just like a bit of everything in there. Like I think our playlist is like 12 hours long, so there's a bit of everything in there. Yeah.
I mean, trust me, after David Thompson came on saying when he rides, he listens to a mix of country and hard style, nobody will think anything of this combination is weird anymore. So, fair enough, fair enough. We're gonna start a new rubric when we're interviewing riders. We're gonna start building a playlist. So, I would like you to be the first one, the honor is yours, to think about a cyclocross related song. Like, you can listen to it to your warm up, or really, it gives you like the cyclocross vibes, and we're going to put that together in a playlist.
I would say Kiss with a Fist by Florence and the Machine. I feel like that's sort of a bit what cross racing is. Yeah. Yeah, Sundays are good. The Kiss and Sundays are bad, the Fist. So yeah, I'd say that one.
Interesting. I mean, I guess this will be an even more diverse playlist in the end, I'm sure. No, I'm not gonna give others ideas if they listen to this, but there's a couple of party songs that I'm expecting to come in high, a certain star tune from the World Cup. Let's move to a bit of that racing. When you started racing, did you start by going to just local races in the UK?
Yeah, so as I said, I started in triathlon, and the first thing I actually rode was cross. That was how I got into the sport. I guess my parents thought it was a lot safer than riding on the road. So, yeah, it was the Yorkshire Cyclocross League that I'd just go and, yeah, race against the local girls, which is, it's funny actually, because I'm out here riding with a lot of them, I don't know, five years later. So, it's quite cool that you can race against those girls all the way through. So, yeah, definitely started local. Then went to my first national and then did a bit of national racing, then my first international race. And yeah.
You mentioned that you've been racing for 5, 6 years against the same riders. Are some of those girls like you're becoming like lifelong-ish friends at the moment?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think the friends and the mates you make through sport are, yeah, something special because, you know, you go through so much with them. You see them at the lowest and you see them at the highest. So yeah, I think all those girls are definitely people I'm going to keep in touch with. And yeah.
Who are some of the riders that you've become friends with in the past couple of years, this season, maybe before?
Yeah, so Kat Ferguson, she's my best mate. She's lives pretty near me. We ride together a lot. Freya Whiteside, Amy Morn, you probably don't know a lot of them, but I got friendly with Vida this season, actually. She gave me a jersey, and Chanel from Belgium, which is one of the cool things about cross is that, you know, your mates don't have to just be from the UK. Daniela has an over from the Czech Republic. So, yeah, it was really nice to get to know girls from different parts of the world.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool thing about being in the sports, this level, that you're with people from all over, a very diverse group. You grew through the local races up to where you were now this season. You raced a bunch of World Cups. Of course, last year you already raced the World Championships. How was that? Cross Worlds, first World Championship. What was your experience in Hoogerheide?
Yeah, it was massive. It was my first World Championships, full stop. I had not done road worlds or anything like that. And especially in the British team, like, it's all in for world. That's the main goal at the end of the season. That's the thing that counts. So I was definitely nervous going into it, and I think I expected a lot of myself, especially the first year. The race itself was pretty much a disaster. My front wheel dropped out. I had two punctures. I had a shed load of crashes. So I think I was 22nd in the end, I want to say, which was, not near where I wanted to be. But I think the experience of a world is, it's like nothing else, the build up to it, the nerves, watching the races afterwards. So even though the race itself wasn't what I wanted, I think I learned a lot, especially with handling nerves and pressure. So yeah, a positive experience, even if luck wasn't quite on my side.
You say the British team is always all in for Worlds. How does the preparation in the British team work for Worlds? In France, we see a super strict schedule for juniors. They lay out a program with a bunch of training camps and dedicated races, and they tell the juniors, okay, pretty much only race the Coupe de France weekends, and that's pretty much it. The Belgium is the completely opposite side of the spectrum. There, everything is just left to the respective commercial teams and personal trainers to prepare riders for Worlds. What's it like in the UK?
Yes, it's a little bit different compared to the different disciplines in the UK. So for road and track, it's very much like you say, it's very structured because it's an Olympic discipline. Whereas for cross, it doesn't quite have the same budget and the same staff, I guess. So I work with my road and track coach for the cross. But I think not racing too much is a big consideration because, if you're racing every weekend, it's not just the 40-50 minute physical effort, it's the preparation before, the nerves, the travel, all of it goes into it. And I think the fatigue can really, really compound. I mean, Matt Ellis, he's a big guy in the UK cross scene. He's definitely said to me, like, Imogen, you're racing too much, take a break, take a weekend off. So it's nice to have those people that they know so much about the sport on your side and looking out for you, because I've got a lot to learn.
How do you feel you balanced this season? You started pretty early in September, then there was a bit of a break, then you built in towards European Championships and then through the World Cups. Do you think that you managed to find that balance well in racing and resting? Or, I mean, still a lot to learn, still a junior, so there's of course no harm in making mistakes. You can't expect you to be perfect at that age.
Yeah, it's something we're reflecting on at the minute. I think towards the back end of the season, I did race too much. Like, I had a really good Christmas period and that bit before that Christmas period, but after that, I really struggled to find my spark and find my legs again. So I think maybe missing out Benidorm World Cup, missing out Hoogerheide World Cup, to just get a really solid block of training before Worlds could have been a better option for me, because, you do your big hours earlier in the season, like November, early December, and trying to carry that form through to then February, it's like a long time to try and hold that. So I think looking back, Hoogerheide was definitely one I shouldn't have raced. Like, I didn't feel like I was on top form there, but I just thought, you think what, why not, but I think that was something I didn't get quite right this season, and hopefully I can learn from that.
Let's zoom in a little on that Christmas period, because as you said, you had a super strong period. You had your first ever World Cup podium before that already in Dublin, and then the Christmas period started in Namur, you said, one of your favorite courses. How did that race go for you?
Yeah, Namur, like I said, it's such an iconic course. Like, it's got that big descent onto the cobbles, and it's crazy. I raced there last year and I knew it was one I wanted to do this year. Well, 2 years ago I wanted to do last year. We've got to remember it's a new year. The race itself, like, I think I'd struggled a little bit with the mental side of it. The week before in Dublin, I'd like lost my head. And so for me going into that race, my main focus was to keep it low pressure and to have a laugh and to have fun and to deal with setbacks. And I did that. My chain came off twice and I didn't lose my head. I think I was sixth in the end. It was annoying. It's never good to have two drop chains, but I kept my head. And so I was pleased with the process on that race.
And what do you mean when you say in Dublin you lost your head?
Well, I think in cyclocross, it's like, I think it's about minimizing the risks, but also about being able to, yeah, keep your head, keep calm, keep cool, make good decisions when things don't go well. And I don't think I was doing that very well. I do this, it's been a big thing this season, is trying to make a race plan so that, you know, mechanicals, crashes, stuff out of your control. After that happens, it's not like a, you know, I think every rider's done it. You just go into the red mist and it's like, right, I've got to catch yourself. And then one mistake turns to two and three and four. And then it just, yeah, it snowballs and it dictates your race. And that was a big thing this year, trying to prevent that, really.
It seems like that went really well in the World Cup in Antwerp. That's also one of the races where I saw you bunny hopping the barriers. It seems like you've invested quite a bit of time in the technical skills to improve them. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm really lucky that I've got quite a good support system around me. So Ian from Shibden, he was there every Tuesday and Thursday trying to teach us how to bunny hop. That was his big thing for this season. He wanted to get more girls bunny hopping. And at the start of the season, I was like, Ian, there's no point. Like, I'm never going to be able to do 30, 35s, 40s. And he's like, no, you're going to come every Thursday and you're going to practice it. And what sort of got me really wanting to do it was the fact that Kat was starting to do it. And I was like, oh, I can't let her get this over me. So, yeah, we went along every Thursday and failed quite miserably at first, but slowly got the hang of it. And I think it's something that's really helped me out, especially, yeah, in those Christmas period races.
In Antwerp, you were both hopping. You were both juking it out for the win. Do you feel like you left anything on the course there that maybe could have made you win that race? Because it was super close, and the final lap, you two were still together.
Yeah, I mean, I think you always look back in hindsight. It's like, oh, what if I hadn't made that mistake? What if I hadn't done that? I think Antwerp was a race like that. You know, I'd get a gap, and then I'd make a mistake, and it'd come back together. Kat would get a gap, she'd make a mistake, it'd come back together. It was that sort of, yeah, that sort of dynamic, and I'd been leading and quite dominant in it. I really wanted to win, but I messed up that last sand section, that last corner, and that was that. So yeah, in hindsight, there's definitely things that I'd done differently, but I think with the knowledge that I had on the day, yeah, it's easy to say in hindsight, but no, I'm happy with that one.
Well, yeah, it is easy to say, and I mean, something we often try to avoid, well, when we analyze it on the podcast, at least try to nuance it that, of course, in hindsight, it's good to reflect and it's good to like come to the decision, hey, this can be better. But of course, if you're racing around with your heartbeat high in the 180s to 200 even, like, of course, you can't think clear. Of course, you'll make mistakes. And of course, sometimes it's easier when you look at something like from the side and you have the overview, it's a lot easier. But seems like you repacked yourself well then, maybe, from the disappointment, if there was any, because in Havre, you ended 15th between the elites, your favourite course, your favourite race of the season, is what you said about it. Could you talk us a bit through that race?
Yeah, so I can just remember practising and being like, I was having a bit of panic, so I was like, I can't, so there's so many things I can't ride here, like all these really steep, slippery uphills, and then I was looking around and I was like, wait, no one can ride them. Like, this is going to be a race that involves a lot of running and a lot of physicality. So, yeah, I didn't have any expectations. And, you know, going into Elite World Cup, you kind of can't, because, you know, you're racing against the best of the best. So it's just sort of there to be a learning curve and normally a pretty steep one. But, yeah, it was just super attritional. Like, I had a pretty poor start, but I managed to get back up there quickly. I think on the first run in a hill, I think I ran past like 15 people or something crazy like that. And it was just about, yeah, trying to keep going till the finish. So it was really, really physical, and that's how I like it. So
you did a few more races. It was, I think you were even on the podium in that race in half of the U23 race, which was super special to see. But you did a few more races. But I would actually like to zoom in on not the racing, but you were there with your family for Christmas. How is that to celebrate Christmas away from home, but I guess home away from home in a way?
Yeah, my mum's absolutely brilliant at that, at making places that are like unusual and don't sort of feel like home. She did like a massive Sainsbury's shop, got it all delivered. We had like a little mini Christmas tree. We still had the full Christmas dinner. And yeah, I'm not an only child. I have a brother and a sister. So for them to sacrifice their Christmas at home to, yeah, come to Belgium, and they both have absolutely zero interest in cyclocross, and still to come along to our races and support, I felt really lucky. And I think it's quite special to have that support system around you, because yeah, this isn't their dreams, this is my dreams, this is what I want to do. So yeah, I felt really lucky, really lucky.
Was there any time to do some sightseeing or some touristy stuff around that period?
Yeah, we went to quite a few Christmas markets actually, and they were really lovely. Like, the Belgian Christmas markets are lovely. And actually, on one of my rides out, I actually found the Junior Flanders course. So the Flanders course this road season, just stumbled across it by accident. So that was quite cool as well. So yeah, there was bits of non-racing fun in there as well.
Did you have time to try any of those famous Belgian waffles?
I didn't actually, but I did have chips at one of the races, so I'd say I did live the Belgium experience.
We'll count that as a pass on the Belgian citizen test. So I mean, you're halfway there pretty much. All that's
Oh,
left is the beer
no.
tent at the cyclocross race, and you can apply. But yeah, the new year started in Baal, and that's when you even got TV time. You were racing the GP Swiss Nice. You were well in the top 10. Then you had a mechanical deep in the final lap, which ruined your chances. You came in 13th. Was that a big disappointment?
Yeah, it was a really big disappointment at the time. It was because I made a stupid mistake. I should have pitted on that last lap and just known something so simple. There was no one around me really. Like, I had plenty of time, plenty of space, but I was just so deep in the red, I wasn't making logical decisions. And yeah, that was a big learning curve to just, yeah, throw a result like that away. But yeah, I did some reflecting after that, and I think there's always positives you can take away. Like, I was super, super happy with my form and the way I felt and the way I raced. So yeah, it was disappointing, but it was also a nice way to finish off the Christmas period to feel so strong.
Now you need to fill me in on something important, because I was in Benidorm, and this season I've been doing a bit of media for the American national team, and I was there, and after the race, Vida Lopez, the son of Juan for our listeners, gives me an American jersey and is, "I'm going away. If you see Imogen, please give her this." What's the deal with all the jersey swaps?
I just think it's so cool. Like, we get quite a lot of kit from Great Britain, and I just think I've got a Belgian one and a USA one at the minute. And I think, yeah, by the time I finish my career, I want to have one of every nation. That's the goal. But yeah, those are my two favorite jerseys, with the USA ones and the Belgian ones. Those are the ones I want to get in this year. But yeah, I've been riding in them out in Spain, and it's just cool, isn't it? It's just a laugh. So yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, so you're swapping jerseys with friends, rivals, competitors to build a collection of artifacts. It's pretty cool. I've not seen people do it before. I mean, I can definitely see how it's cool, and by the end of your career, you can look at it and tell your family or friends, maybe down the road your children, "Oh, this is when I raced here. This is when I raced here." It's super cool. Any next targets? Maybe somebody is listening and is like, "Oh, I'll trade a jersey."
Oh, I like the new Netherlands kit. I like the new orange. That's nice. I like that. So yeah, I'd say any Netherlands listeners, hit me up.
Yeah, you're not on the old Dutch kit, the whitish one that you're just waiting for them to like come up with. You're just waiting. Ah, now is a nice kit, time to trade.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to pick your moment, I think.
I gotta increase that market value of the jerseys. Now it's definitely really, really cool, and I mean, you see it a lot in other sports, in European football, in American football, in ice hockey. It's super common to trade jerseys after the match and just take home one and keep it or auction it for charity. So, yeah, it was definitely cool to see that. And now maybe it will end you give you a Dutch jersey in the end. But yeah, after Benidorm, you already mentioned a bit tired. Probably shouldn't have done the Hogerheide. You had a bad day there. Then Worlds. How was that experience in Tabor?
Yeah, I'd never raced in the Czech Republic before, so that was cool in itself. And it was really good vibes in the team. Like, we're staying there with the elites, and everyone was just super open, and yeah, all talking about the course and exchanging their thoughts, which was, yeah, it was nice having all that information and all those riders to learn from. The race itself was, I don't think I've ever seen like crowds like that for a junior race. Like, I remember running over the hurdles that first lap, and it was just like deafening. It was just, yeah, I went in there with certain goals, and yeah, I didn't quite reach them, but it's that it was that balance between that racing fatigue and that training, and I just wasn't on my best form there. I just wasn't, yeah, wasn't as fit as I should have been, and wasn't as race ready as I should have been. So I did the absolute best with the legs I had on the day. I was eighth in the end. So yeah, not a horrible result, but it wasn't, yeah, where I wanted to be or where I thought I could have been had I been better in my preparation and more strategic, I would say.
Unfortunately, that's racing sometimes, but I mean, it seems like you've already drawn your own conclusions from that, and you can only take that with you in the future and know how to prepare for other things. Focus now goes on the road season. Last season, you already did super well. You rode a strong race at the World Championships, ended fifth there. I think you also were in the top 10 of the Tour Flanders and of the prestigious Waddesleigh Ladies Tour for junior women. So, seems like you're doing very well there. What are your goals for this road season?
Yeah, we were just talking about that as well. I think Worlds is always a goal, to get selected and also to go there and perform. Flanders, like you said, that's also a big goal in my mind because I think the course there really suits me. It's quite punchy. It's got climbs. It's a really tough race. So, yeah, if I can perform there, that'd be super cool, and maybe track heroes as well. It'd be nice to do something there and to get to go there. So I'd say the two road ones, the main ones, will be Worlds and Flanders, will be the races I'd be after.
What type of events would you want to compete in track?
I really like the elimination. I like the elimination race and also team pursuit. Hopefully I'll be in the team pursuit team this year, and we've got quite a strong team, I'd say, so that should be cool.
If you're good at the elimination and the team pursuit, what type of rider would you classify yourself as for the road? What do you think you're best at?
I mean, I think I'm still learning all the time, but I'd say definitely anything that makes the race hard. So climbs, bad weather, wind, it being a little bit longer, I'd say anything like that plays into my hands and into my favour. Like a really attritional race is where I think I do well, because I think I've got quite good fatigue resistance and endurance and being able to have that kick after 60K of hard racing. So yeah, anything that makes it hard, basically.
Guess Worlds will be a hard race. Seems to have a couple of punchy climbs, one shorter one and a longer one, so will be interesting to follow you through that further down the line. What do you feel like your future goal is for cycling? It obviously sounds like you're hoping to make a pro career from it, like everyone does, and you've put yourself in the picture, but do you like see yourself combining disciplines, shifting focus to the road, really becoming a punchy rider for Tour of Flanders, or what was it maybe too early even to really think about that?
Yeah, I think I love cross. Like it was my first love, and it was, yeah, I think for me it works really well in the winter to not just have to train but to have that race intensity. So I think, yeah, as you say, I really want to go pro, but I think if I can combine both the road and the cross, that'd be super cool. The classics is where I thought I'd see myself, maybe on the road and maybe the stage racing as well. But like I said, I'm still learning all the time. So whichever races I get to race, I'd be, yeah, chuffed with that. So I'm not picky.
Do you then maybe see a rider like Zoë Bakstedt to be like an example in a way to combine it? I mean, she is a rider too who's like developed her technical skills a lot and becomes better and better throughout the years, and now is also gonna explore the road. And I mean, she already had a very good second half of last season in the Women's World Tour.
Yeah, she's definitely super talented, and also, yeah, she works really hard, so she's just this amazing talent. So if I can get even close to her results, I'd be chuffed a bit.
That will conclude a nice conversation. Hopefully, all our listeners enjoyed it. But Imogen, thank you so much for your time during your training camp in Spain.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
I would like to thank all our listeners who listen to this conversation. Hopefully you got to know Imogen a bit better now. We will be back later this weekend, after the weekend, when we discuss the final televised races of the season. We will be discussing the exact course in Sint-Niklaas as well as the X2O Trophy in Brussels. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will be back. Goodbye.